Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you that believe that we're getting an episode tonight for Stranger Things, and those of you that know it's all for show. My name is Jared, and with me is the man who is going to conquer 2026, Ian.
Hi, that's me. I'm conquering 2026.
Ian, are we going to get an episode tonight of Stranger Things? This is the most meta our intro has ever been.
I believe, like the kid in the Polar Express, I believe.
Very on brand.
Yep, I'm here. I'm ready. Okay. Popcorn's ready. I will be sitting on the couch ready with my popcorn.
Whether it's playing or not.
Yes.
Oh, man. We will be your host for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us here at our table. If you've not seen Stranger Things, I really don't think I've spoiled anything, but if I have, I do apologize. With that, we are going to be taking a look at the most anticipated games that we have going into 2026. Full disclaimer, in no way is this an exhaustive list. In no way are we going to mention every game that's going to come out in 2026, and in no way do we have the ability to see the future to see what the best games are going to be? But we are excited about these.
Exactly. We are here with excitement for 2026 in the gaming world and what it has to offer. And we're excited.
It's going to be good, man. We were kind of talking about this before the show. 2026 is going to be a very interesting year as like the impact of tariffs on this particular industry. You're actually going to see the effects of that, I think, a lot more this year, and some of the decisions that companies have made because of it. You're already seeing a lot of announcements for reprints or going back to give expansions for games that are already popular. But then you've also got a few smaller publishers or games that might not have gotten as much love that's starting to be able to pop through because a lot of those publishers are choosing not to do new games. So I think it's going to be a fascinating year to watch in 2026.
Yeah. No, I think this is something that we've talked about on our own as well. But this year is just like, it's just so open for many things. Maybe it's because I don't have much of a plan going into this year. And so then that's kind of bleeding into my gaming hobby and I just don't have much of a plan. I'm excited for what this year will bring as far as gaming and life. And I think this is a cool opportunity for those to take place and for this just open world to kind of hit me and what the gaming hobby has for me and for what my gaming group will receive from this year. I'm really excited for what that will be. So
I agree. Very excited as well. So with that, we're going to jump into it. I don't think this particular list is going to be in any particular order, mainly because I am terrified of top 10 lists, but that's okay. So we're going to throw some games at you and we're going to talk about how excited we are for those going into this year.
That's right.
I do want to mention, we do have some 2026 games, obviously. But we also have some games that we are planning to get to the table this year that are either 2025 or before releases. So we're going to be mentioning those as well. I'm going to start with one or two of those. First up on my list is a couple of two-player games, Toy Battle and Take Time. I've already gotten a chance to play one of these at the very beginning of 2026. Take Time is a 2-4-player game where it kind of takes elements of the mind, where you're playing cards that are numbered that you can't like communicate what they are. But instead of just playing them to the middle of the table, you're playing them around different puzzles of different clocks. And you go through different stages and different things that are happening. And then once you get through one set, you can move on to the next. Super fun game. And I already enjoyed that one a lot. But looking forward to getting that one back to the table to go through the different challenges that the game has to offer. And then Toy Battle, I think I've mentioned before, or maybe it was mentioned in the episode that the audio didn't work. Toy Battle is a 2-player area control battler where you are playing. It's very much like the old game Stratego, where you are playing different pieces onto the board with the intent of trying to capture your opponent's castle. Or it may be, and there's like 8 different themed maps in the game with different structure and different objectives and things like that. Ian, do you have a 2025 that you want to mention? Or
yeah, no, I mean, overall, you mentioned Take Time. I'm interested in that one. I would love to get that one to the table because that sounds really cool. And it sounds like something Julia would like, so I'm all about that. And you mentioned that as well when you told me about the game. So I'm excited for that one and what, you know, to give it a try at least. So
I imagine once I finish up with it, then you guys will get a chance to try it out.
That's right. That's good. Well, yes, I do have a 2025. It was a late 2025. It was a Kickstarter. It's Puerto Rico 1897. It's a special edition. Well, this is a game. If you know anything, Puerto Rico has been on the top of, you know, 100 of BGG for like 30 years or whatever now. This is kind of just a retool slash buff up with the quality components, and like, it's a Kickstarter game found, I think, project, and it has a ton of the expansions that were released throughout the years, but also adds a couple more of Puerto Rico and adds all of those things into this crowdfund opportunity here. And so again, I'm excited to one. I grew up playing Puerto Rico a ton. My brothers both really, really like the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still love it. So I'm not as much of a Puerto Rico fan as I used to be. I think it's a little worn and older now, but I'm excited to give this a try. I've read through a little bit of the rules. I need to read through all of it. It adds a good amount to what that was. So I'm excited for what these changes are and what that ends up being. Overall, I'm excited for this project. And again, I got it a couple weeks ago now, and I'm excited to finally play it this year. I haven't played it yet. So, and it's not even mine. It was a gift from my brothers.
Oh, okay.
I have it in my house. I'm waiting to give it to him because he hasn't come over yet. So I will be giving it to him. It's going to be that exciting like moment of like, hey, we're having a game night. I'm not going to tell him what game we're playing. And then he shows up and he's like, yeah, hey, this is your gift that was supposed to be here in October. So yeah, so that's, it's going to be good. Yeah.
So I'm curious, and you kind of alluded to it, does, like, I never played Puerto Rico ever. Like, I've never played the game. So as an older game, do you still enjoy it like the original, or is it kind of whatever?
I mean, it's pretty Euro-y, classic, like, cousins Euro-y.
Fun times.
Yeah, it's you know, it's very, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, basically, you're just building a farm of different crops, and you go and, you know, you put your, like, workers on it to enable it, and you can build buildings that, you know, help you produce different things. And then you trade those goods either in to trade them across seas to get victory points or gain money. And so to do more things. But really, it's an action drafting game. So you have the action tiles in front of you, and you take one and take the action. And then you get a buffed up version of that action, and everybody else also gets to take the action. I don't even know what that style is called anymore. I forget what that's even honestly called, what that mechanic is. But
that's okay.
But anyway, it's, I mean, it's just action drafting, I guess, is really what it ends up being. But overall, economic farming game. Yeah, it's, you know, it shows its age. It's good. I enjoy it. I'll play a game, but it's not something I want to play all the time. But with this, okay, it's going to have all 3D pieces, 3D terrain, 3D boats, like all the things. So I'm all like, have a little bit more of a desire to play this version than the prior, because the prior version, it's all cardboard and like tiny wooden component. Like, it's so small and they're kind of fiddly. So I'm excited to get an upgrade here. I think it'll be good.
No, that makes sense. I was just curious because my father-in-law loves Dominion and has multiple, he is living the early day Dominion life where he is buying all these expansions and loving all of it. And I'll play and I'm like, man, it's all right, but it's not the thing that I want to be playing all the time. But so I'm just curious if some of these other ones.
I am right there with you, but I haven't played this version yet. So I'll have a updated opinion once I play this version.
So
I think that's all I have for I'm looking. Yeah, I mean, the only other one that I have was supposed to come out this year, but it's not here yet. So I don't know if okay. That doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count. But I do want to, before we move off of this, I'm curious if you, speaking of like old games with new vibes.
Yeah.
Have you seen this new thing for Agricola that's planning on coming out in 2020?
I did see it. I thought about backing it.
This Dead Harvest where you're basically trying to farm in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world.
I didn't see that. Is that different than the collector's edition?
Yeah, no, this is not the collector's edition. No, this is something different. Like I said, it's due out in 2027. Looks
What's
like it
the
will
name
come
of
to GameFound. So it's called Agricola Dead Harvest. And it's this game from Awaken Realms, easy for me to say. Awaken Realms. And there's not a whole lot of details about it, but you're in this zombie world and you got to defend your land. I'm super intrigued. Like, sign me up. This is what I'm talking about for Agricola.
Man, yeah, this looks crazy. Also, everybody's giving it hate for artwork.
Gosh, people are so fickle.
It is a 6.1 rating and the game's not out for 2 years.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't know, man. But I did see that scrolling through our 2026 options and I was like, what is happening? Anyways, that's a 2027, so it didn't make the list. But yeah, so speaking of 2025 games, I'll go ahead and throw another few out there because there's a lot. Like we mentioned off the top, like 2026 is going to be a very interesting year. I think it's going to be a year that creates a lot of opportunity for older games to get played. And I'm kind of excited for that. So there are a few that I've missed that I wanted to get to the table. One of them is Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship. I'm not going to lie, Ian. I scoffed at this game when I first saw it. I was like, I don't need another pandemic. I don't need more of that.
Oh, but is that what it is?
It's its own, like, it's much more, it's very Lord of the Rings. Like, it's high bar stuff. But it is getting so much love right now.
Okay, and, nice.
It's, and of course, it's out of print because they're waiting on a reprint, probably early quarter one. Sometimes my understanding, but yeah, it's got that vibe. If you go look at it, it's from Z-Man, but it is very much Lord of the Rings, and so I'm excited to try it out. Another one, Ian, you and I bought this together, and we waited so patiently and didn't get it until after Christmas.
That's true, isn't it?
I love me some TMNT, and so when Unmatched offered up a cooperative Unmatched game with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you and I had to get on that train, and so that recently arrived, and I'm looking forward to getting that one to the table as well. Briefly mentioned Unmatched before, it is an old new system from Restoration Games, and they've got all different kinds of like IPs and characters and that sorts of things that they've implemented into this battler system. And so now they've got this co-op version and they've got the Turtles as one of those options. So very much looking forward to getting that one to the table and checking that one out. Another one that just kind of missed. I was looking at it. I saw the hype. I loved it. I love the art style. It's very cute and weird, but I just never got it to the table. That's Castle Combo. Quick little tableau building game where you're just trying to draft cards and make your little kingdom. So very excited about getting that one to the table. The kids got me that one for Christmas.
Nice.
So excited to try that one out and see what all the love is about on that one. And then I was surprised at Christmas time. My dear friend Ian bought me Formaggio. And so I want to try that one out. I don't know a whole lot about it. I also don't know about its older brother, Fromage. I've actually considered, Ian, buying Fromage for us to try them back-to-back, because I know Fromaggio is a standalone expansion,
yeah.
But it'd be nice to compare the two of them and kind of see how they differ. But they are both made by Ben Rossett, among I think there's a couple other designers in there as well, but love me some Ben Rossett games, and so I'll definitely have to get that to the table. And I do think I will get Fromage as well, just like I said, so we can do all kinds of cheese things and see how it goes.
Cheesy things.
Cheesy things. Yeah, because both of them are about, like I said, I don't know a whole lot. I just know because Ben Ross, it's a genius. They're all simultaneous worker placement, which is what you want in a game.
Yeah.
They're it's like making cheese. You're making cheese. So I'm very excited to get to try it out for sure.
Yeah.
And then Ian was over the other night and we couldn't help but notice that I have 3 boxes still in shrink of Marvel Champions expansion boxes. Not the little hero packs, like the actual boxes. So yeah. I need to get me some Marvel Champions to the table.
The big old boxes. Still not unopened, not even opened, let alone used.
So sad. I mean, it's just the life of a father and a podcaster, and it's just hard, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Life as a gamer in today's world. Yeah.
It's tough. Too many options. Yeah.
It's tough out there, man. It's tough out there.
And then you have
there.
Friends that harass you about getting up to date on Stranger Things just so you can join their cult.
Yeah.
And
and then they start making you believe in there's a new episode dropping every week. So even though it's not.
we're going to forever believe that Stranger Things is going to drop a new episode every week, even though the show's over.
Yeah. So. We're part of the mind games that are being played.
We are part of the mind game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, dude, give me a 2026 game.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, we'll start somewhere. We'll go to city of Pittsburgh, and we're going to talk about Brass Pittsburgh, which is coming out this year. The Kickstarter is coming out, but anyway, we'll see if it actually ends up being here this year, but I'm excited for what this will be. I am not a Brass player, Brass Birmingham. Never played, but my family is all from Pittsburgh and my parents, and I know a lot of the history of Pittsburgh and the steel town, and this game really takes on, you know, you become like those titans of the steel industry, and between Rockefeller, Vanderbilt, Carnegie, and Henry Frick. So you like are, it's part of the steel world that became, as far as like the, I guess it's part of like the industrial revolution time. And well, I don't even know if that's what that time it is, but anyway, it's the steel town that you are kind of dive yourself into. And I think that's really cool. The theme alone is, I've always wanted to play Brass, but to get to something that is a little bit more of a theme that I'm interested in and an area of the world that I'm interested in, I think that's more something I'm excited for. Overall, that's one that I'm pretty stoked about, and I will be ordering for sure.
That makes sense. One for me is this was a Kickstarter in 2025. Tagged and Boarded is the newest comic collecting game that is coming out. We've reviewed a couple of comic collecting games already in Comic Hunters and Age of Comics. And I think, for me, both of those were fine, but truthfully, like looking at Bagged and Boarded, and I keep going back to it, and it has a lot of the things that you're looking for in this type of game. It focuses not just on the comics, but having the economics to be able to afford the comics and the time to go to the conventions and to collect and to do all these different things, and then to actually read the comics. And to me, like every time I come back to it, it's just dripping in theme. I can feel that through a Kickstarter page. And it's not in the way of like, hey, come check out the hype before you miss out. It's like that you can feel it all the way through this game, reading the rule book and looking at the different art style and all the different things like that. I'm very excited for this one. It's from, I believe it's called Octoraf Games. And if you are interested in jumping on the train, All Play is managing the pre-order for late pledges. So you can jump on that train and have it in July. So just something to think about. I'm excited about it and looking forward to getting that one to the table later this year.
That looks really neat. Yeah, I'm excited to give that one a try. All right, the next one for me is going to be The Great Library. That's going to be by Eagle Griffin Games. And this game is about The Great Library of Alexandria. So honestly, like, I don't know much about the details of this one just yet, but overall, you're looking at a couple different really cool, I mean, they have a lot of pictures of the game board already. It is a picture, basically the board is just like the library, and there's different stations within the library, and honestly it's just so beautiful. I mean, the colors and the style I love of what this game will be. And so you're going to be kind of moving around and doing different actions inside the library score points that's what we do in games. We score points, but you're going to be triggering events and different things of the Great Library. Anyway, overall, the theme is I think such an interesting theme. So that's something, you know, I always do look at games that bring this element of history. You know, not all my games I want to do that, but if there's an opportunity to learn something about history or how you get a little bit of a glimpse of how something worked, I think that's really cool. And so that I feel like that's what you're going to get out of this. You're going to get this little piece of history that's, you know, not something we always talk about. You know, you mention it in history books, but it's not something that, you know, you put your hands on. So I think this is cool.
That looks awesome, man. I'm really intrigued by it. It definitely was on a, like, yeah, I could definitely check this out list for sure. Next up for me from Arcane Wonders is Ross, A Dance of Love. Now, the first thing that drew me to this is that Anna loves dancing, and to bring a game like with something like dancing to it, I was intrigued. And so I started looking at it. The next thing that grabbed me was the board. The board is fascinating. It's got all these bright colors and several wheels that spin with the different dancers that are going to be on the board. You get to draft these different dancers, but then you got to like make sure that their styles match up, and you're collecting all these different dresses and things like that. Like, it really seems to deep dive into it. And it looks like Ross is a specific type of dance in India. And so I want to look into that a little bit more. It looks like a lot of fun. And so I'm excited to try that one out in this coming year.
Yeah, that one, I saw that one too. That one looks cool. All right. Another one for me is from Ivy Studio called Honor's End. This is a game that was pre-ordered. You could pre-order through them or Kickstarter. And anyway, it is a cooperative deck building game set in the medieval kind of world, where you're kind of building a deck and using the cards in different ways. You can either put them into your deck, you can leave them out and use them as weapons, you can upgrade things with these cards. It is a multi-card effect game, which I love. I love ways that, you know, the card isn't just used one way. You can use it in many different facets of the game, and you'll be a knight. And so the knight gets to choose their path to valor, fortitude, wisdom, or different warrior tactics that you can, you know, gain. And then you'll be fighting enemies throughout this, again, cooperative kind of deck building game. I think it's really, really good. Ivy Studio does fantastic components and artwork and design. And so I'm excited. This is a game that I'm going to have to, I say I'm excited for, but I didn't even like order it. You know, I probably will. I didn't pre-order it or do anything like that. It's just, I want to see it. Either, you know, I have some people around me that might get it as well. So it's a game that I might, you know, if I find somewhere this year, I'm definitely going to give it a try. So it's not at the top of the list of like, oh yeah, I bought it, I'm ready for it, but it would love to give it a try at some point this year.
Yeah, this thing is super cool, man. I've looked at this one. I'm curious. So the multi-card use, does that trump the deck builder aspect?
Yeah, I'm not much of a deck builder. So I think I think that was something that I watched a video of some gameplay and didn't get a clear picture of what the gameplay would be. I'd really want to watch it or get a play.
Yeah.
And because how much of that deck building is kind of voided by all of the different ways you use the cards in the game. And I think it would work really well for me.
Yeah.
I just would love to give it a try prior to, you know, making a decision on it.
No, that makes sense. I've heard it's actually not much of a deck builder when I was kind of looking into it.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibes I was getting as well. So,
do you like the art style on this?
Yes. Love the art.
See, I think I do too, and I'm not sure I understand why. Like, some people are like, I hate the art. Like, it's no good.
It's kind of this, I don't know, it feels like a storybook or like, yeah, you know, like a kid's book of a knight and like that I would read about as a kid. Like, that's what it feels like. It feels like a storybook type of artwork.
That, yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, it just feels like a knight's storybook and I think that's awesome. I think that's it's a good design choice. I actually really do like it.
Nice. That's awesome, man. All right. Well, next up for me also has some very fun art in a very different way. This is Vines and Flowers, Blooming Harmony.
Very different.
Very different, but also very fun. So this is a tile laying game that's going to be coming out this year. And you're putting together different vines and flowers that you're trying to complete. And then you're trying to have various insects go off and explore this thing that you've built. It is competitive, but you are all building within the same structure. And I say structure because this is a 3D tile laying game, where you're actually building up and out. We got to see this at Gen Con. It looks super fun, and excited to get this one to the table.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds neat. It sounds pretty. So
it is very pretty.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to pick The Class of 89.
Yes.
By Paverson Games. One, Paverson Games makes insane games. I mean, are any of their games bad? I don't think so. So I'm excited for this one. A Class of 89 will take you back to the days of big dreams and bigger hair and high school send-offs. Basically, you're making a yearbook, and you're going to be the president of the yearbook club, and you're going to be collecting all these different moments and building this wonderful yearbook for all of your friends to look at. But anyway, trying to get make the best yearbook out of all these moments. I think overall, like, they have a couple spoiler pictures here. I think they look really good. I think obviously they do great artwork and mechanics and all that. So waiting for more details on this one. I think, again, their games are great, and I love the way they design games. So I'm really fascinated about this one. Some of theirs has been like, okay, man, that's such a big project. I don't even know if I want to like touch it. And I love Distilled. You know, but their other with Luthier, and they just have had these massive projects, and they're all really good. Anyway.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me how sometimes gaming brings these themes in that make us so excited that you aren't expecting. Dude, I could not have cared less about the yearbook when I was in high school. But now, like, thinking about it as an option in a board game, like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. So I am also very intrigued by this one. We'll have to see. I don't know if this one will make it in 2026. I think it does go to some kind of crowdfunding.
Yeah.
First. And
because they have another one coming out this year, don't they?
Yeah, Ringyo. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Ringyo, yeah. That was the other one I was thinking of.
Yes, Ringyo. Yeah. That one also is not actually going to be a 2026, in my opinion. I think that's going to end up being a 2027 release, but it'll go to crowdfunding. But we'll see, man. We'll see, because I'm excited for both of those.
So, yeah.
All right. I would be remiss if I did not mention the Game Makers as a 2026 product that I am very excited about. Who doesn't want to use simultaneous action to create all your own board games and let them be real board games?
That's right.
And create this super efficient manufacturing in the warehouse of Panda as you are making the greatness of this hobby that we love so much. So excited for that one. We've been singing its praises all through 2025 and looking forward to getting that one to the table when it delivers in 2026.
Yeah, no, that one's going to be good. All right. Well, I have 10 Penny Parks, the collector's edition, which includes a couple expansions, mini expansions as well. You have the Innovation expansion. You have the Winter Lights and Spooky Nights expansion, which is what I ended up purchasing. I'm also excited about the Innovation one as well, but I love the idea of some more rides for 10 Penny Parks. Again, if you don't know about 10 Penny Parks, you're building an amusement park. And so with the Winter Lights and Spooky Lights, I think adding the themes of Christmas and Halloween. One of my favorite places to go is Holiday World. And so they have the holiday thing. So like, I just am imagining making rides. I just think it's cool. And then if you know, the Innovation adds a lot of new things to the game as well. If you want that overall, I think this is a really cool project. I'm excited. It also has like this big box to fit everything. So it's just in more to the classic game here that I love. I think it's a solid game. There's not many games that you get to make, you know, a roller coaster park. And so adding just more rides, I think one thing that a complaint that I have about the game is that you kind of see all the rides almost every game. And so I would love for there to be more, and this is providing that. And so I think it's a really good needed expansion. And so it's not like a full game, but this is an expansion to a game, but I think it's going to be well needed.
And that one is still available to late pledge. I think it, I'm just going to say it, Ian, I think it's the best theme park board game that we have for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, I call it Roller Tycoon, the board game. So
it kind of is. Yep. But no, I hadn't even made that connection. But this, the expansions definitely have a Holiday World vibe.
Yeah.
Which is right up your alley. So that's yes. Awesome. All right. Last one on my list. And you know how sometimes you have things and you're like, I know this isn't going to be the greatest thing for everybody, but it's like something that you're hyping up so big in your mind. Like, yeah, thinking, like, this is going to be great. I think this is one of those times. I don't expect it to be game of the year for everybody. It might not even like make some people's radar, but like for me, this is like my most hyped game in 2026.
Wow. Okay.
I am so excited about this little 30 minute two player game.
Okay.
Layers by KTBG is just, I am so fascinated by this concept. This idea of building this dungeon and your opponent beside you is also building a dungeon. And then you switch boards and you have to make it through your opponent's dungeon. And
that's
whoever does
neat.
A better job wins the game. I'm so fascinated by the concept. Like, I'm so hyped for this. So
that sounds a great idea. No, that sounds like a great idea. I think that is one. You know, every year there's always a game that, like you're saying, is not like, it's like a game of the year, but it's just such a really good design. Some like light, fun, just good game. And so that's, you know, you always got to have more of those. I love it.
Yep. I'm even looking at the pictures right now. Like, it's so cute and it's 3D. Like, this is good. Like, and you know, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just super curious to learn more about it. And I just fully expect this to be awesome. And I will be disappointed if it's not.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, I have a couple more, and I know we kind of cross over here. Well, at least I know we talked about we like all of these games together. So we're going to kind of talk about these last couple here for sure. One I have is Root, the Homeland expansion, which was actually supposed to come out last year, but didn't. So I'm excited for this one. I love the game of Root, and so adding any type of factions is fantastic. And so we're able to do that in this. We're adding a couple more factions and a new player board, which can go up to 6 players. So really excited for that one. I think that's going to be a really neat expansion. I've looked kind of a little bit. I haven't spoiled too much for myself on that one. I think that's going to be really good. One that is by, and that's by Letter Games. One that is by Hegemonic Project Games, which is called World Order. If you know anything about Hegemony, Order. Ooh, I can't even say it right.
For you to say.
Yeah, you're in the world. Year of 2010. The world is drastically changing. Once the unrivaled influence of the United States, basically. Anyway, you're fighting off the world. Most dominant world powers are facing each other in these kind of modern international relations game. And so, one, Hegemony is a massive game that is just eloquently designed over the political system. Really of the United States, and I own it. I haven't even played it yet, and so I'm already excited about this one, which is just another just version of that, more in a kind of more global experience where the Hegemony is more of just a very zoned in focus for a one particular economic system. But overall, I think this is a really neat design, an idea for a design. It looks like, so you're United States, People's Republic of China, Russian Federation, and the European Union is the kind of factions that you'll play. I'm assuming it's 2 to 4 player, and it's going to be probably similar. I looked at some of the cards. The cards look similar to something like Hegemony. So anyway, what did you, you mentioned this one too, so.
Yeah, I mean, this, if this is done right, and it looks like it will be, just based on their previous projects and kind of what you look at here with all the different pictures and the different mechanics of like not just area majority, but also you're managing your hand and there's a couple of deck building aspects and multi-use cards and variable player powers. Like everything's going to function the way that you would for something like this. And they are trying to blend academic theory with gameplay. And so this idea of international relations, I haven't played too many games in this realm that work just straight war games. And so I'm excited to see how this one kind of balances that, where there's war going on, but I almost want it to be an afterthought in that it's just part of the game, not the main focus. So I may be just projecting into this something that's not actually there, because I mean, there's lots of tanks, but there are just tanks. Like there's not all these different pieces or war. And so there's all these other things going on as well. So I'm very excited for this. And I think it's going to be very balanced as far as where whatever power you are could take the center stage, which I think is super cool. And I will say too, like, I'm going to make a bold prediction here, Ian, and you're not going to like it. You're going to disagree with me 100%.
Okay.
If this game is every bit what I want it to be, it could make me never want to play Campaign Trail again.
Ah,
like, fascinating. I think it's, I know they're different. Like, you're looking at American politics versus global, but I just think, like, knowing the publisher, it has a chance of, like, streamlining some of the fiddliness of politics in the Campaign Trail game, and adding some new aspects for that style that I'm looking forward to. So we'll see. Jury's still out. But if this game is what I want it to be, it could find its way into the collection for sure.
That's funny. Well, you can own this one. I'll own the one I already own now. And
there you go.
Because I don't want to get rid of that yet because I haven't played it yet. But no, I think based on what I'm seeing, they're taking a lot of design from the Hegemony. And honestly, the way I pronounce it may not be accurate. I've heard people pronounce it Hegemony or whatever, so many different ways. That's what I'm running it as. So I apologize if that's not how you pronounce it. But anyway, the design, like you're saying, you have this board that you're manipulating mostly with cards that are in your hand. And I love that aspect of really that game. If we're talking about a game that I'm anticipating playing this year is Hegemony, because I haven't played it and I'm excited to. And hopefully I can kind of piggyback that with a game of this as well, because I think it'll be really cool. I think overall that political aspect, like you're saying, it can be fiddly, even especially in Campaign Trail, but like any other politics game can be fiddly because you have to have a little bit of these variability and randomness, I think, to make the politics interesting in a game like that. And so I think making a game that is also very, you know, tightly knit is a challenge. And so I think they knocked it out of the park. For last year, Hegemony was the game of 2025 for the heavy strategy game. It was given that award, I think, by BGG, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but it was given a heavy rating this past year for how much gameplay and how many people played it and loved it. And so I think this might be one that might hit the table a lot next year if it's here. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for both games, honestly, for me to finally play them, because I love politics in games. I think I love the idea. Like, one of my favorite games is Twilight Struggle, and that is all politics. It's just so neat. I think it's a really, really fun way to learn about the dynamics of politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, like, overall, like, politics is, it is very mind gamey, but when it comes down to it is kind of this, it's a system that's used either via propaganda or whatever. All of these are just tools that can be implemented into a board game, I think, pretty easily as far as that standpoint. And sure, that to perfect those mechanics might be challenging, but I think these are all things that can be used and have been used in games. And I'm always, when somebody says, oh yeah, it's a political game, I'm like, yes, I want to try it, because those aspects of gaming do really intrigue me a lot.
For sure.
Okay, do you have anything else to add on that one?
The only other thing I'll note, just an observation I made while you were talking, World Order is almost a full point lower in complexity than Hegemony.
Okay.
So I wonder if they found a way to kind of streamline some things a little bit.
Yeah.
3.5 is honestly like a weight that I really enjoy. It's not too over the top. So I'm curious to see how that stacks. That's not always a perfect representation.
Sure.
But I did happen to notice that as we were looking over this. So yeah.
No, that's an interesting, yeah. And I think maybe because you're not getting into the nitty gritty of different things, that you can kind of widen that complexity just a little bit and make it a little easier. So I think that's cool. All right. Well, this is the last one I have. I know we've both been waiting for this to get some more detail. I think we talked about it last year, I think at one point, or maybe it was the beginning of this year. I don't even know.
I called my shot and I was correct.
Well, you were correct after three tries, but yes.
No. I refuse this slander. I was correct.
Well, Let's Go to France is the game that we are referring to. We love Let's Go to Japan by AEG. AEG announced via Josh Wood, I believe he like shared it to his like social media of where should we go next. And then like I think a couple months later he announced that we're going to France for his next for the next journey in this man this series. I mean, it is now going to be a series because I'm ready for it. So let's go to France. Is supposedly coming out. There'll be a, I think there's a Kickstarter page that you can hit notify. So you're welcome to do that. If you haven't heard our review of Let's Go to Japan, that was one of our earlier episodes, very early in this podcast. And so I recommend it because we love that game. This game, it does seem that there'll be some good changes. And, you know, it looks like there's going to be a little mini board that you're going to be able to move actually to city to city. Generally, there's only two pictures that are spoiled. There might be more on the internet, but on BGG, that's all I have, is that instead, so in Let's Go to Japan, you're kind of like just going between Tokyo and Kyoto. There's more than that in France. There's a lot of other cities. And so it looks like you'll be kind of moving around throughout the city, enjoying some of the same things, though. It looks like you'll be enjoying food or, you know, art or, you know, gardens or whatever. So multiple different things. It's going to be a similar thing. You're collecting these icons. And I think, again, the same thing with the happiness of the track. I think those things are going to be similar. I'm curious of what those extra actions will be because there's, you know, there are trains in France, but I'm curious of what differences they're going to do here. I'm really excited for what they're going to add. And obviously alone, that little board that you're going to move your pawn on, it looks like, is going to be a really cool addition and change from game to game. And that's the thing about a series like this. You got to make it different enough. Like, obviously, the places are different. But if for me to want to collect all of them, you know, as an example, Ticket to Ride has 300 different ones, and they all do something slightly different enough for me to say, yeah, that's really neat. And so that's what I'm looking for in this series.
So, you know, some people are getting to play this early at various cons and stuff. And one person, Jim A, or at JM Alex on BGG, gave a report back after he played at PAX Unplugged. So I'm going to take a second and just kind of go through some of these because it's a good report. And like, I think it's worth talking through.
Yeah.
So he lists off what's new. You simplify it down to one deck, as the theme is that you're based in Paris and doing day trips around the country. There is a second travel map board, and some cards and bonuses have travel icons in them, allowing you to move your pawn on the map and increase your activity symbol count. There are a few spaces on the map that grant significantly larger unique bonuses. Days can have up to 5 cards, and they don't have to have equal amount of cards.
Whoa.
Bonuses are now earned for just one symbol in progress along several bonus tracks, which is cool. And then mood is now represented by a time score on each card instead of the arrows that appeared on some cards in Japan. During scoring, each day's time gets added up. The mood marker moved accordingly, giving you that day's scoring adjustment. Some things that are gone, the trains are gone, so you don't have to worry about that. Mood icons are gone. You don't have to earn the highlight. You get to choose what your highlight's going to be, and that's it. So you don't have to earn it.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I think that'll ultimately be a good fix. Every time I teach Japan to new players, they're like, how do you score on Monday? And I'm like, well, most of the time you don't.
It's really hard. Yeah. It can be done, but you have to draw the right cards.
But there's also extra walks, but he didn't go into that too much more than that. So we'll see what's going on there. And then he's talking about how, like, there's a lot of things that are still there. The drawing passing mechanic is still the same. 6 days with a different favorite activity, stacking cards and having to decide which one's going to be your highlight. And then the scoring track for accumulating symbols. And then beautiful cards, obviously, like, that's the draw, right? Is having the beauty, teaching you a little bit about the country, which is really cool. And then finishes, like, with a paragraph of ringing endorsement about how he's excited to back it. And did have one critique. The strategy of accumulating symbols has been greatly reduced because it's much easier to achieve that now. And so that's been a critique by a couple people here. But I don't know. I think it'll be fine. There's a couple others that have mentioned that they're really excited about it. One person said it feels like an almost new game, but keeps the mechanics, which is what you want, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I wanted. So. And I wonder, like, how much of is it a fully finished product? I mean, it's not been bad. It's not on Kickstarter. So like much are they going to adjust here if they're just playing, you know, these copies at gaming conventions? So yeah, it is probably one of my favorites out of this list for sure.
Oh, I think the last two, like, you and I very much share that we both were very excited about those. I mean, I think most of these we're very excited about, but those two in particular, I'm just very intrigued.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's 2026. We're done. We've talked about all the games, so we'll see you guys in 2027.
That's right.
No, I'm just kidding. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on anything that we've discussed here today, we would love to hear from you. All of our links will be in the description. If you would like to reach out, you can do that by Instagram. You can do it on, I don't know, Ian, where else we at? We're on email. We're on we have our own website. We are on BGG.
All we are on Facebook a little bit. Yeah.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
We're on TikTok. Follow us everywhere.
Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube.
Yeah, that one's the one we care about the
most. Important. I mean, you might be watching right now, so make sure you do that. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on all the various socials that we don't even know where we're at, and joining the conversation on Discord if that's your thing.
Yeah.
All these actions are very heroic and immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for the logo and cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music. Join us next week. I think, I don't know, we'll see where we go.
Yep.
I, unfortunately, with a crazy December, have not gotten a schedule yet, but it will be done this weekend. And so we'll decide if we start out the feature table or if we go to one of the others. But in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Let's go to 2026.
We're there, buddy.
Ooh. We're here. And I mean, we might have a Reddit. We might have, a Reddit subpage that we talk bad about Jared he doesn't know about.
Is this already real?
I don't know. You won't know because you're not in it. So
but that would be wild if that was already real. It would blow my mind.
You could go find it. It's there. So go find it.
See you later.